Praise the Lord, everybody. Blessed be your glorious name. I could probably sing that a few more times and still not get tired of it. I don't know about you, but there's just something about worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that just makes you want to continue to worship him because he's good, because he's proved himself over and over and over again. Is there anybody in here that's seen the Lord prove himself over and over and over again? And to that we say, blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your righteous name. Blessed be your wonderful name. So thankful to be here with you again on today. Had the privilege to be in the house on last week. Thank Pastor Tim for extending the offer and for the church for inviting me and opening up your arms so graciously to me and my family. So we certainly appreciate that. We love you guys. And just in honor of the awesome leadership that you have here, Pastor Tim and Beth, why don't you give your leadership a hand of praise. Thanks to God for them, for who they are, for how they lead in such a wonderful house. I'm so thankful for you for submitting to the leadership. I'm going to go ahead and apologize right now. Y'all can probably see me take my glasses on and off because I'm not used to having them. But see, when you get about 44 years old or so, somewhere in there, we left coming here and I left my contacts. And last night as I was going to put them away, I said, I didn't bring my contacts. Oh, well, they get the towel and the glasses and all that. It's okay. Will y'all forgive me today? Is that all right? Okay, all right. So I'm so thankful that we can be here with you again. We're going to continue in the series that we started talking about on last week, talking about the goodness of God, And I got a little bit of reprieve. Somebody said, you just messed up Oreos for me altogether. So I apologize. I do apologize. I should have gave a little disclaimer before this message. Oreos will never be the same again for you. Blah, 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 blah. But no, that did not have to happen. So I do want to say that we did have a great time in the Lord. And as we kind of recap, I'll just give a quick recap. Somebody just messed it up again. I saw that quickly come up on the screen. So I'll just give a quick recap, talking about the goodness of God before we go on to part two today. So the first thing we talked about was recognizing God's goodness, that your Heavenly Father wants good for you. He has good things in store for you. He has good gifts. He has a good life planned for you. But even when things don't feel good to you, he has promised that he would work all these things together for your what? Good. Thank you. Somebody was listening. All right. He has promised that he would work all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The second thing we talked about was receiving God's goodness. We can fully receive all God has for us if we eliminate sin from our lives. No matter how the sin stacks up, those Oreos that we looked at, no matter how big or how short your stack is, God's perspective on sin is always different, isn't it? I'm so thankful that his perspective is not how I look at sin. He doesn't go through and say, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this. He says, no, I sent my son to cover your sin, to cover your sin. And he wants you to be in right relationship with him by taking advantage of his free gift that he gave, Jesus, his son, who died, to cover all of that. That's his desire for us, is just to receive his goodness, to receive his free gift that he has given us. That was receiving God's goodness. The third thing was believe God's goodness. Amen. Belief in God and his goodness gives us hope, and it ignites our faith. When we can hang on to every word that God gives us, when we can hang on to the things that he said, we've seen him, like we were talking about this morning. We've seen him do it. We believe him. We trust him. It ignites our faith. That's what we hold on to. So we have to believe in his goodness, that he is good for you. And the fourth thing we talked about was showing God's goodness. Amen. That we are to imitate God, that we're to practice his example of selfless love by showing goodness and his kindness to others. Amen. Being generous and gracious with all that we have, with our words, even with our smiles. Amen. See, I'm going to give you just a little bit extra. We might not have covered last week, but I'll give you just a little bit extra for free. Just tell somebody, this is for free. This is for free. It's for free. See, when people encounter you, what kind of experience will they have?
That's right.
Will they leave your presence feeling lighter? Or will they leave your presence feeling kind of burdened down? See, we're talking about showing God's goodness here. We're not perfect, nor should we pretend to be perfect, any of us. The scripture we talked about last week said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us can compare to God, his goodness and his holiness. So we're not supposed to act like we're perfect. We have it all together. But if we are the bearers of good news, of this good news of Jesus Christ, there should be something exciting and there should be something inviting about our conversations. There should be something exciting about our body language as we encounter other people. See, a friend of mine once said, we have to do this thing that's called pastoring our face. Have you ever heard of that? We have to pastor our face. Talking about this, showing goodness to others, sharing it with others. We got to be able to pastor our face. And when he said this, I went, what in the world? What is pastoring our face? See, sometimes we need to have a chat with ourselves before we leave for work, before we go to school, before we go to church, before we go to Walmart, before we maybe even come out of our room and encounter our family members. We need to have a little conversation with ourselves and say, you know what? Eyes, you will not roll the next time you hear something you don't like. Somebody's laughing because they know as soon as they hear something, the eyes go and there goes the head. And, you know, sometimes there may be even a little other body language with it. We need to be able to pastor our face, pastor ourselves. We have to tell our face, you know what? Smile. You didn't wake up sucking on a lemon pacifier this morning. It's okay. You can smile. You can act like everything's not perfect, but there is a hope on the inside of me. And if we're sharing this with other people, there should be an excitement that comes across. There should be a joy that people encounter when they meet us. Because you know what? If Christ is on the inside of us, that should radiate to the outside of us.
Absolutely, amen.
You get the point. You get the point. We've all encountered those people sometimes that, you know, they look like they've just died and come back from heaven or somewhere. Well, I've been saved for 1,700 years. I've never had a problem in my life. You've encountered someone like that before? Does it leave you feeling like you're very noticed, loved, like you can connect? We want to be that experience for someone that has had a real encounter with Jesus. Amen. We want to be able to be that person that can share the goodness of God with our words, with our actions, with our emotions, with all that's within us. We want to be able to share God's goodness. Amen?
Hallelujah.
That's just a recap from last time and a little bit extra, if that's all right. Some things that I had to deal with myself on. Because see, a lot of times before, when the Lord gives us something, I have to deal with me. Selwyn has to be in check. I have to be able to pastor Selwyn before I can be able to share anything else. So that was just a little bit of what we talked about last week. So this week, on today, what I want us to focus on is God's goodness pursuing me. God's goodness pursues me. Tell somebody, God's goodness pursues me. And if you'd like to, turn to Psalm 23. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time today. And I won't be before you long, but I feel like this is definitely something that the Lord wants us to pick up on. So this is your, if you're taking notes, this is your one point right here, okay? This is it right here. We'll make a few references in between, but God's goodness pursues me. This is what we really want to glean from today. Psalm 23. And it reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Hallelujah.
He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, David writes this Psalm 23, having a good understanding of what a shepherd is. Y'all remember David, right? David has a good understanding of what a shepherd is, but in this psalm, he writes it from the perspective of being a sheep. Interesting. From the perspective of the sheep. See, he knew what it was like to be a shepherd, making sure that the sheep had food, that's the green grass, making sure that they had water, not just any water, not raging rapids, but the quiet, still, the calm, refreshing waters. You know, the kind that just washes over and refreshes you. He provided protection when needed for the sheep. Even when one wandered off, he took the time to leave the herd and to find the one lost sheep. Aren't you thankful that he took time to be individual with that one sheep? That he says, I have enough care and attention for you. That if something happens to you, I want to see about you. If something happens to you, I want to see about you. I want to see about you. That's how David looked after his sheep. And so some of you as parents, you can kind of identify here because that was kind of unique. David did something special when the one sheep would run off. He would take care of that one. And as parents, you may have heard this from your kids. Well, that's not fair. You gave it to them, but you didn't do this for me. Anybody heard that before? We would often tell our kids this, you know, when that conversation would start. Fair doesn't mean that everyone gets the same. Fair in this house means that everyone gets what they need. Is that right, babe? Fair gets what they need. That would mean if you broke your leg and you needed medical attention, maybe even a cast, I'm not going to take all three of my kids to the hospital and say, doctor, fix them up. They're going to all break something. Go ahead and fix them up. That would be insane. That would not make sense, right? You would take the one that needs attention, have them cared for, and then return to the rest, right? That's the kind of care that David took. It's not about being fair, but that everyone was able to get what they needed. All the sheep got what they needed. If they needed to have a bear or a lion fought off so that they could live, David did that. If they needed to have a little more guidance to get to the quiet stream, David did that. That's the kind of care and attention David knew of as being a shepherd for his sheep when he begins to write this in Psalm 23. He knew what it meant to be a good shepherd and how to take care of the needs of the sheep, every detail, nothing left undone. So here in the psalm, David, having that background as a shepherd, he begins to write this from the perspective of the sheep. What does it feel like to have a shepherd who takes care of you? What does that feel like to have a shepherd who would take care of you? Who provides food, drink, nourishment? One who is concerned for your safety and will not stop at anything to protect you. That's the kind of detail that David begins to write Psalm 23 with. To be cared for by one who has your best interest at heart.
Amen.
That's the kind of care and attention that David began to write Psalm 23 with. So let's kind of zoom in on a part that I want to focus on for just a bit. Verse 6, Psalm 23 and 6. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you'll indulge me for just a minute, I wanted to read this from another translation. The New Living Translation says it like this. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Will pursue me. So the beginning of the verse, we see the word in this translation, surely. Surely, which tells the reader to pay special attention to the truth that's about to follow. I'm about to drop something on you, so what? Surely. So if I said surely, y'all knew something was about to happen, right? You were kind of keying in. Your ear was going to be listening to what's going to happen next, what's going to be said next. This word means truly, certainly, indeed, and if you're kind of from the King James Version, you might say, verily, verily, I say. And it is a word that has affirmative emphasis of the importance of the words that are about to follow. God is saying, I really want you to get the truth of this verse into your heart and into your soul. What's to come? I want you to really understand this and get it down. So next, the word pursue. Pursue means to search for eagerly. Now, I'm going to pause here for just 1 second, because some of you guys in the room, or it could be ladies, I won't just say guys, but sometimes y'all do a husband look, right? A lot of times, it even happened, I think, this morning. I'll be looking for something, namely my socks, and I'll say, you know what? I don't see them here anywhere. I'm looking for them. I don't see them. Where'd they go? Or you said The cheese is in the refrigerator, second door. I don't see it. And what happens? Mm-hmm. So yeah, say that again. Yeah, she's preaching right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, my wife will come in and she'll say, and this is literally what she did. She stepped out and she said, they're right there. Right there, sir. That's all that had to be said. I said, oh. I could have looked and looked and looked in the refrigerator and didn't see it. And she comes over. Right here. That's not the kind of look that we're talking about right here, the kind of pursuit. No, not the man look. We're talking about a pursuit, a search with eagerness to track down, to hunt for something with relentless abandon. That's the pursuit we're talking about. To chase, to pursue passionately, and to run after. That's the kind of pursuit that we're talking about. It is such a relentless pursuit or a chase after someone until you hunt them down. You find what you need. It's not over just yet. Until they are found. See, these words have intensity and passion to it. Amen. It's the same word used when a villain chases its victim or a predator hunts its prey. It's not a half-hearted effort. No, my friends, it's not. But it has boundless energy, conviction behind the pursuit. See, we've all watched these kind of movies that have this kind of storyline, right? Or maybe you just turned on the news. You might see some of the same things. Where there is a diligent search for a fugitive, they may have to get the dogs involved. People are bringing out every ounce of strength and manpower to track down this criminal. That gives you the mind picture of this amazing word, pursuit. That's the kind of energy that's brought to this word when we talk about pursuit here. When the word tells us that surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. Hallelujah. It won't stop at anything. It will chase you down. It will track you down. It will keep coming after you because you know what? Amen. That's God's love.
Hallelujah. Yes, it is.
Surely it will have that kind of pursuit. All of the days of my life. That's what David is writing about here. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. It will pursue me. It will track me down all of the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house forever. This gave David great confidence that with God's continued favor in his life, no form of opposition or fear will destroy, shake, ruin, tear down his faith in God's ability to meet his every need. How many of you have that kind of faith stirring on the inside of you today that you have no doubt that God will meet everything he said he would do? He will meet every need. He will supply everything that's needed for you, for his vision that he's given you. That's what we want to stir up on today. God will do it.
Yes,
he will continue to pursue.
Amen.
Tell somebody he's pursuing you. And I'm so thankful that God continues to pursue me. David knows that the shepherd will always provide guidance as he pours out his amazing love and mercy. This adoration of praise in God's goodness was also restated in Psalm 31 and 19, where it says, "How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the world watching." That's the kind of love that God has for you. He will not withhold anything. His protection is there for you. These are the words of David, but they certainly resonate within me.
Amen.
I hope they resonate within you.
Yes.
About how Jesus cares for his sheep.
Yes, he does.
See, this is what David found as he poured out his heart, writing Psalm 23. And I like how another author puts it here. See, the Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship.
Amen. Amen.
I shall not want. That's supply.
Amen.
He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's refreshment. He restores my soul.
Hallelujah.
That's healing.
He
leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That's guidance.
Amen.
For his name's sake, that's purpose.
Amen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that, my friend, is testing.
Yes, it is.
I will fear no evil.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
That's his divine protection.
Amen.
For thou art with me. That's God's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's his discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. That is hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's his abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the blessing that pursues you again and again and again and again.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That is security, my friends.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Forever and forever and forever, that's eternity.
Amen.
See, found in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, it says, "But now hope, now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love." The greatest of all aspects of the Christian life is love. Love is to be the foundation of all that we do, all that we are, and all that we hold on to. You'll find many passages that talk about we can be the greatest of all these things. The greatest at what you do. Think about what you do on a day-to-day, what work you do. In school, you could be the smartest. You could be the most beautiful. But if we have all of these things, if we do all these things, even in the name of Jesus Christ, but we don't have love,
yes.
We don't have anything.
That's right.
We have to learn from the greatest example, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life. That, my friends, is the definition of love. See, sometimes we struggle with what is love. Is love that touchy-feely thing that happens? Is love saying, I love you, sweetheart, on Valentine's Day? Absolutely not. I would advise highly, gentlemen, that you take notes and do that on those days, but that is not what I'm saying here. That is not what I'm saying. True love is sacrificial.
Yes.
True love lays down one's own wishes, desires,
yes,
and picks up another.
Amen.
That is true love. See, the greatest of all aspects of the Christian life is love. Love is to be the foundation, all that we do, all that we are,
yes.
All that we hold on to. It is definitely the motivation of Jesus. So as I get ready to come to a close, I've got a couple of final things here. One of my favorite devotionals and scripture passages is just this. Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me."
Amen.
See, the passage in Revelation is God's word to the lukewarm church in Laodicea. God doesn't just knock on the doors of our hearts, of the hearts already filled with passion for him. He doesn't just knock on the doors of the lost. He knocks on the doors of the hearts that are in desperate need of inner revival through his tangible, powerful love. He knocks on the doors of the hearts of those whose flame has been squelched, kind of dwindling by the cares and the stress of this world. We all know there's a lot of stress to this world. He knocks on those doors. He knocks on the doors of those who desperately seek after him and need him.
Thank you, Lord.
See, the world, he might have come to reignite the passion and communion between our spirit and his Holy Spirit. The God of heaven and earth is passionately pursuing you right now. No matter how close you are to him, no matter how far, he's knocking on the door of your heart, asking to come in and to meet with you once again. He's not knocking just to fix you. He's not knocking just to make you do something for him. He simply wants to meet with you.
Amen.
He simply wants to love you.
Yes, yes.
He simply wants to be in relationship with you.
Amen.
That's his desire. See, there is grace for you today to seek his face.
Yes, there is.
Seek the face of the Heavenly Father. There is grace for you.
Amen.
Open up your heart. Accept this wonderful gift of encountering God's presence.
Amen.
There's grace for you to know and experience the depths of the love that God has for you. The question, therefore, is simply, will you choose today to let God love you?
Yes.
Will you choose today to be in relationship with him? Will you choose to open the door?
Amen.
I would encourage you today, if you have not done so, choose yes. Say yes. The only gift that Christ wants to give you is the pursuit of his goodness. A life of goodness. A life where we can have security and hope in Jesus Christ. With a love that will never end. That's his desire for you on today. So we can choose to do our own thing, to go our own way, to continue to watch our sin stack up, or we can choose to be in relationship and take Jesus Christ's perspective. Will you stand with me? I know some of us are in the valley of decision where we may be trying to decide, you know what, am I really going to passionately pursue Christ as he pursues me? Do I really want to give up my own wishes and desires and follow him? I would encourage you today to make that choice, just to simply surrender to Christ, to follow him, his desires that he has for you. He has good things in store for you, my friends. And right now, he is pursuing you. Will you pray with me? Father, today we just thank you for the study of your word.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. That you stop at no end to protect your children. That you stop at no end to show your children great love and care. So, Father, right now, we recognize you and we honor you as Lord and Savior of all.
Yes, we do.
There is none like you. There's none beside you. There will never be one like you. You are the great I am. We humble ourselves and we lay down our lives before you.
Glory to your name.
You are above all.
Yes, yes, you are.
So, Father, today we surrender to you. We lay down our own thoughts, our own wishes, our own desires. And we say, Lord, have your way in our life today. God, we recognize that your love has been pursuing us for so long. And today we stop. We stop the run. We hear the knock on the door. We say yes to your way. We simply say yes to you. Not to an idea of what we feel like you're going to be like once we accept your salvation, but we simply accept you and we accept your love.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you would fill us right now with your goodness. Let us know without a doubt that you are right here in this very moment with us. We can't make it another day. We can't make it another moment without you, God. We recognize our need for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to step into our very situation right now. We thank you for meeting us here, God. We thank you for your relentless pursuit. And God, we can recognize that your goodness has been running and chasing after us all this time. We honor you. We bless you.
Yes, we do.
And we say welcome into our hearts on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.